All right, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, the athletic director of the University of Miami. Blake James joining us here for a couple minutes. Blake, hope all is well with you, and thanks as always for the time.
Good morning. Doing well. Hope you guys are well.
Blake, we're staying home. I've been home so long, I can't get in trouble here, except I'm driving my family just absolutely nuts. I'm convinced that my two daughters and my wife hate me. I'm shocked by that. Well, I really am.
We'll have to see what their annual evaluation of your behavior is, Joe. And I guess.
Hey, Blake, we're all wondering, the testing and the numbers going up in Dade County, how do you start college football on time down here is one of the hot areas for the growth of the COVID-19 right now?
Well, I think the good news is, Joe, we're still a ways away from the season. But I will say, when you look at what's happened over the last few weeks, it definitely gives you, a much more concerning look than where we were at in just a few weeks ago back in June, where we really felt things were starting to make progress, and obviously this spike now creates a lot of challenges for that, and that's something that we're seeing across the country. Obviously, Miami is a hot spot, but the spike in COVID has really picked up across the country, and I would say collectively in the conversations I've had with a lot of my colleagues, I think there's a real concern, but the positive is September's still a ways off. We have a lot of time in between, and I think a lot of things that we all can do to help slow that spike, and hopefully that's what we have, and hopefully we're able to start right at the beginning of September as scheduled.
Well, the other one everybody's been talking about nationally is moving the schedule to spring. We've already seen the Ivy League come out and say that they're going to play 7 games against conference. Is that one of the things you guys have to start looking at as well, trying to play a college football spring schedule?
I think it's one of the things that we've looked at starting way back in March, Joe, to be honest. It's one where this time has just really been a lot of modeling a number of different scenarios. I think where we're getting, Joe, is to the point where there's a lot of levers that can be pulled, and it's setting up timelines as to when we would pull those levers, and whether that's to start the season as scheduled, to, again, moving the season earlier, to moving the season later, to moving it to the spring. So there's a lot of different scenarios that can play out, and I think have been evaluated. I think where we're at right now is we've continued to evaluate what the situation is, but I do think we're getting to that point where we're going to have to make some decisions in the coming weeks that will really shape the what the fall sports landscape will look like.
Blake, we've seen reports from other colleges around the country about a number of players, a number of student-athletes that have gotten COVID-19. What's the thought process from the University of Miami and from you guys of not disclosing how many players, if they have any players, that have got COVID-19 since your testing on campus begun?
Well, it's such a fluid thing, Zach, when you get into testing and contact tracing and tracking. And so, we put out a pretty extensive plan that our great leadership at UHealth had put together for us in bringing our staff and student athletes back. And so when you look at it, you're testing everyone that is really, we don't have a bubble, like you hear about the NBA talking about a bubble, but we do have a facility that we have people coming back into, and whether those are individual staff members that have contracted the virus to student athletes potentially contract the virus, then the contact tracing that goes with that, what that means in terms of those people being required to quarantine and all that. It's just there's so many different moving pieces to it that on one day you can have someone who tests positive, and then what is that impact, and then do other people test positive from it? And so rather than getting, and obviously we can't ever release names due to HIPAA, but we just felt that it wasn't something that was productive or helpful to be putting all sorts of different numbers out there, because I think a lot of times it just gets more and more confusing.
Let's get back to the other part. If you do have to move, and you guys have talked about a lot of different things, and I'm sure you have, do you expect the Power Five will make a decision together, or do you think conferences will do it separately? How do you feel it will play out?
My gut is, Joe, that it'll be a decision that collectively the Power Five you know, come to a decision as to what the fall sports season will look like. I'm guessing that the group of five, the other, you know, five conferences that play FBS football will follow suit. But I know that Commissioner Swofford's been in regular conversations with the four other commissioners of the other four autonomy conferences, and my gut is that we will collectively come to some type of an agreement, and that's the direction that we'll move. If I was to bet, I would bet the group of five will move in that same direction, whatever decision that ultimately ends up being.
Could you see it all conference games and letting everything else go in and just playing the meat of the schedule? Could you see it that way?
Yeah, I can. Again, I think when you look back to just what we just talked about with the testing and setting up standards and having it feel that the team we're putting on the field is gone through the same, safety precautions that the team we're lining up has gone through. I think there can be some challenges in getting everyone to a certain agreement. I think that's what we're working as a conference, and I know we're working at it as an autonomy group. Hopefully we get to that point where it allows us to feel comfortable enough to take our team and put it on the field against another ACC opponent or even another opponent out of conference. But I think that's the biggest challenge right now, which is why, to answer your question, I could see it maybe being easier that you get to conference-type agreements versus a collective national approach or even an autonomy approach. So, again, while I wouldn't say that's definitely the road we're going down, I wouldn't be surprised if it was one that we ended up deciding was ultimately the best decision, given all the variables that are going into this.
Blake, in the news or the talk about the possibility of maybe moving the season back, and if it is spring, is there a kind of collective thought process on players maybe not playing because they're getting ready for the draft, or that they don't want to get hurt right before their NFL career starts? Is that a fear for ADs and head coaches that if we do move it back, we might lose guys that don't want to play to get ready for the NFL?
I don't know that fear is the right word. I think I would look at it as more an opportunity. I mean, take a young man in a program comes back for his senior year, even another year after they could have went into the draft last year and moved forward, and you hate to not have them have that opportunity. And I think if the likelihood that if it moves to a spring season, the likelihood that they would then take advantage of that opportunity, becomes, I think, smaller. To your point, I think there's some guys that would decide that it's just the focus of going on to the next level, and that's what they're going to focus their time on. And then what is the impact of that on the other, 100 guys on the team, and what does that look like? And so, that's part of the conversation. Now, at the end of the day, if we decide that spring makes the most sense, I'm sure that's where the direction will go. I just don't know that collectively that there's a lot of people that believe that's the right spot to be right now. And then you look at what's the carryover to future seasons and those types of things. And so again, it's one where there's a lot of different ways that this can play out. And as I said earlier, I know a lot of them have been evaluated. I'm sure there's some that we haven't put much thought into. The challenge is now it's getting to that timeline as to what levers have to be pulled at what point in order to make these types of decisions.
Blake, besides the Power Five conferences, everybody says, well, the Power Five, they'll be fine. They're set up to do it. What happens to the rest of them? Is there concern? The guys outside the Power Five that play Division I football, there's some conferences and independent. Boy, what happens to those guys? They're in big trouble. If you guys, for some reason, decide to take them off the schedule, what could you see? That could be bad, huh? Bad news.
So you're talking from a financial perspective, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely. Trying to play with no butts in seats and no contracts and dependent on playing you guys to get checks. That's a tough one.
No, I think this fall is going to be a financial hit for everyone. I think let's just first look at the challenges. Just we've gone through a society, and we've had, you know, millions of people across the country that have lost jobs, and I'm sure a lot of those people are people who buy season tickets and, right, and go out and support their teams. And so there's going to be a financial hit for everyone in this, even if everything from today went forward as best as we could hope for. I think there's still going to be some type of financial hit this fall. Is there an impact to non-autonomy teams on guarantee games? Yeah, but I would say the autonomy level in many cases, and probably just about every case, the financial impacts are probably greater when you look at the size stadiums and the number of people that are buying, yeah, buying tickets in those types of situations. And so I think there'll be a financial impact for everyone. There probably are some autonomy programs that have a large reserve in place that may be able to handle it better than everyone else. But it's gonna hit everyone financially, and that's just the reality of where we're at. And I know different schools will take different steps throughout the process in terms of trying to mitigate that loss. I will say we're blessed to, with great leadership at the University of Miami, who have a tremendous appreciation for our sports, and that our president, Dr. Frank, and our senior leadership team have really worked with us on looking at different scenarios, and we've laid those out as to here's all the different models we believe could happen from a financial impact and what that, right, will mean. And again, I'm sure that's what those other schools are doing. But yeah, to your point, this is going to be a financial hit for everyone. And it's one that, honestly, Joe, if you look at some of the smaller programs, and I'll only use my experience at Maine, by not playing games or playing fewer games, there's probably some expense savings that there's not revenues to offset it. And so, right, for some smaller programs, I've never worked at an Ivy League school, but if you look at the Ivies, I mean, there's not huge TV contracts. There's not huge sold-out stadiums. There are still a lot of the same expenses that we have at our level. And so while they're definitely going to lose any revenue they would realize, I'm not sure what the difference is between the revenue and expenses for them. And it may be actually a situation where programs at that level, the expenses you're recouping more than offset the revenues you lose. And I'm confident that's not the case at the, right, at the autonomy level. If you lose TV and the ticket revenue.
Can you put your public health expert hat on for just a second? You've got 100+ players. What? Just run me through a day and your biggest concerns for all these players. They're coming from different places, doing different things. They're young guys. Just take me through, as you get up in the morning, your biggest concerns and getting through stuff and getting players to change certain things to try to stay healthy.
I think, Joe, what it comes down to is just changing habits, and we see that in the community. Again, there's been a push for everyone to wear masks on every opportunity that they can. Obviously, you can't wear a mask while you're eating something, but to wear a mask constantly. And I think that the thing that we've talked with our young people, both in our men's and women's sports, about is what they're doing when they're away from our facility. Because when they're in our facility, I'm confident that they're going to be following all the rules that we've put in place, from social distancing to unnecessary contact with others to sanitary protocols to obviously wearing their mask. But when they go home and when they go out in the community and they're with friends either that are with the program or that maybe aren't involved in the program, or they're with family or whatever it is everyone doing all those steps that we're really working with them to be actively participating, right, in when they're in our facility? And I think that's the challenge that we have, with each one of our people in our program, whether that's staff or students, right, is what are all the habits that they're practicing when they're not in our facility? Because again, when we're in our facility, again, it's not a bubble, but I feel that, given all the thought and people who are public health experts, which I'm definitely not, but I'm blessed to be able to have their guidance in this. When you look at the system we've put in place, I'm not as concerned, and that's not to say anything can't happen at our facility, but I'm not as concerned as in our facility as the other hours in the day that they're not in our facility, right, and they're just out in the community, and you don't have either everyone in the community following those guidelines or even people wanting just to maybe fit in. And if everyone's not wearing a mask, well, I'm not going to wear a mask. And that's the approach that we can't take. We need everyone. If people want college sports, I'll say that. We need everyone to buy in and follow the guidelines that are being put out there and listening to our public health experts, which, again, I'm not one.
No, I know that. Right.
So I'm listening to what they say.
Hey, by the way, real quickly, how often do you test the players? How often are they getting tested at school right now?
It varies. It varies in terms of different situations. But, you know, Joe, I would say that based on the plan that we have in place, on average, they're going to be tested every few weeks. Again, that ramps up at different times. But it's a plan that is well laid out. There's not a specific answer to your question because it's going to vary for different individuals based on what the situation is. But I would say, you know, safe answer to say is everyone's getting tested every few weeks, some more often, and I would say that's probably at the best way to answer that question without going into each individual and saying, okay, this person's going to test on this date and this date and this date because of this, and this one's only going to do this date because of this. It's, again, there's just, I think, a lot of different factors that go into determining who's testing.
Blake, I hope we never have to go through this again, right, so we have to sit here and bomb you with what-ifs with everything. So we really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much, and hopefully we do get some good news and people follow what they're supposed to do, and we can get the numbers going the right direction and have our football back. Thank you.
All right.
No, Joe, it's great to be on with you guys. Appreciate the coverage as always. And like you just said, I think the biggest thing, hopefully the message that we have people take out of this is if we want college sports, and in this case specifically college football, we just need everyone really to buy into the guidelines that the government experts are putting out there. And whether those change and become different, it is regardless, we need people to follow those and really do it all we can to bring an end to this. And, I'm hoping we don't have to have these conversations again in the future. happy to talk with you guys anytime something comes up.
Well said.
Thank you, Blake.
Appreciate
it, buddy.
Appreciate it.
All right.
You guys stay healthy. Take care.